Let's pray. Gracious God, tonight we come and it's a solemn occasion because we remember the cost. And so tonight, as we listen to your Spirit speak to us, we ask that we will be attentive and obedient and thankful. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We all know that Friday and Saturday and Sunday are big days. In terms of the, as Todd says, the Easter weekend, it's all about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, right? But this is Thursday. What's up with Thursday? I mean, in the Bible, Jesus isn't out teaching to thousands of people. He's not healing people. He's not raising people from the dead. He's not exorcising demons. He's not doing anything particularly amazing on Thursday. On Thursday, we find Jesus sort of observing Passover with his peeps, with his disciples, in an unnamed, nondescript room. It's just sort of a quiet affair. My guess is it's fairly somber. The other thing I'm guessing is that the disciples have no clue what the next 72 hours are going to be like. And the fact that those next 72 hours are going to change not only their life, but the course of human history and the course of cosmic history. So what was it about that night that makes it so special? I mean, we've certainly read about it and we've seen it painted, and last year we had it enacted. So there's a lot of familiarity with what's going on here. Jesus is having a meal with his friends. But what does the meal mean? What is it about the meal that makes it so special? You know, meals are kind of funny things. They determine who sits around the table. You know, so it's like who's in and who isn't. Who gets an invite and who doesn't get an invite? Who's welcome and who maybe not so much? Meals are kind of interesting. When the president has a fundraising dinner, the tickets for that could cost as much as what I make in a year. Who gets to go to that meal? Who gets to be invited there? Because I can guarantee you there's a lot of power in that meal, right? Meals play a small role, but a significant role in the Bible. And this is especially true when Jesus steps onto the scene. In Luke, the fifth chapter, Jesus decides to have dinner with Levi, who's a tax collector. That did not go over well with the religious authorities. They said, "Why are you having dinner with tax collectors and sinners?" In Luke 19, he decides to call Zacchaeus out of a tree. Now, Zacchaeus isn't just any ordinary tax collector. He is the chief tax collector. He is the mob boss. He is the head of the cartel, if you will. That didn't go over very well with the religious leaders either. And then Jesus tells a story about a son who was tired of living under the thumb of his father, and so he decided to ask his father for his inheritance. And when he got it, he went off and he squandered it and realized when he hit the bottom of the barrel, he decided life wasn't so bad with his family. And so he comes back. And the father is delighted to see him, and so he gives him a wonderful feast, a celebration. And who's upset? The older brother's upset, and not just a little bit. Because he doesn't think that this, his brother, should even be considered part of the family anymore, let alone have a special dinner in his honor. Jesus tells a story about another situation, about a king whose son is getting married. And so the king is, in that time, he sends out invitations all over the countryside. Come on, you know, come on and enjoy, the have some fun. Now, understand, that day, weddings went a whole week. It was like a massive party, spring break on steroids. I mean, it was just a good time. And you know that you were going to have good wine and good food. Who would say no to that? Well, apparently, everybody the king invited, which was a shock and an insult to him. So then what the king does is he tells his servants, after he finds out that nobody's coming, he says, well, I want you to go out into the streets, and I want you to bring the poor and the lame and the crippled and the blind. And today we go, that's so sweet. That's just so nice. But the people that are listening to that in Jesus' day, they're appalled. They're like, the wrong people are getting invited to this. That's just not right. You see, in Jesus' day, the rich, or the Jews didn't eat with the Gentiles. And the rich didn't eat with the poor. And the religious didn't eat with the sinners. Which brings us back to this question, what makes this meal so important and this night so significant? Well, to sort of get to the bottom of that, we need to go back in time. We need to go back and remember who the Passover was originally for. And so go with me for a few moments back to Moses' time and the time of Exodus. Who was the Passover for? Was it served in the halls of the Pharaoh? Was it a fundraising dinner? Was it for the rich and the famous and the powerful? Not hardly. It was for a group of people who were so nondescript as to be called slaves. And they weren't slaves. You know that movie that came out, 12 Years a Slave? And we all think, oh, that's terrible, 12 Years a Slave. 400 years. 400 years. Can't even think that long, that much. They were slaves. They were slaves so long that they had lost their identity. They'd lost their dignity. Slaves so long that the Egyptians just figured these people were slaves. They were born that way. That's what they were made for. But God finally says, the Passover is for you. It's not for the Egyptians. It's not for the wealthy. It's not for the powerful. It's for you. You are invited to the table. You are included in the meal because you are my children and I love you and I'm doing this to set you free. And so God frees them from their past, and he promises to go with them in the present, and he also promises to lead them into a future that they have no clue how bright and how brilliant it will be. Their past is redeemed, their chains of slavery are broken and busted and left on the side of the road. Their burdens are lifted, and their dignity is restored. Isn't that what we want for ourselves as well? For whatever burden that we are carrying, for whatever it is that keeps us up at night or gives us indigestion during the day, isn't that what we want? our burdens to be lifted, our dignity to be restored. The good thing is about Passover and the meal that we're going to observe tonight is that there's no time limit on it. There's no due date on it at all. Here's the great thing about the Passover, and that is there wasn't anything that the people did. The Israelites had nothing to do with it. There was no Israelite army standing at the gates threatening the Egyptian nation. Nobody had a sword to Pharaoh's neck saying, you have to do this. There was no human involved at all. It was all of God. He orchestrated it. He planned it. He executed it. He did it all. It's almost kind of funny when you think about it. Imagine after they get out of Egypt and one of the Israelites bumps into a Bedouin shepherd out there in the desert. And the Bedouin shepherd hears about what happened because you know that people heard about what happened. And the Bedouin shepherd says to the Israelite, how did you guys get Pharaoh to let you go? How did that happen? And the Israelite goes, I don't really know. All I know is we were eating flatbread and lamb kebabs in our house. And the next thing we know is that they're telling us to pack up and move. And the really crazy thing is that the Egyptians were giving us all their money to go. The nice thing about Passover, the great thing about Passover, is that the people had nothing to do with it. And God had everything to do with it. God finally heard their cries and he says, you're my children, and I'm going to set you free. Which brings us up to date into where Jesus is in his time. It's Thursday. It's the Last Supper. But again, it's not served in Herod's palace or Pontius Pilate's courts. There aren't any rich and famous and powerful people sitting around the table with Jesus. It's just him and some fishermen and a tax collector and a zealot and a few other stray people. Not exactly who you would think or expect to be sitting sharing a meal with the King of Kings. Arguably the most powerful person that has ever been on the face of this earth. But I can tell you this, there was power in the meal. Because one of the things that the disciples didn't quite understand, but Jesus knew, was that he was about to do something that was going to bring more freedom, greater freedom than anybody had ever known. And the people weren't going to have anything to do with it. And this meal and the thing that was going to happen wasn't because the people were worthy of it. But again, there was going to be a sacrifice that was going to be made. But it wasn't going to be a lamb, at least not of the four-legged variety. Jesus says, this is my body. He's really clear on that. This is my body. It's my blood that's going to be spilled. He said, anytime you partake of this sacrament, this meal, remember me. And he's not talking about remember me as remember what's happened, remember the Passover, remember this as if it's something that's happened long ago and far away. Because the truth is that it's in the present. God has invited you each one of you to the meal, to the table. He invites you to come just as you are. Whatever guilt, whatever shame, whatever embarrassment, whatever mistakes, whatever sins, whatever grief, whatever burden, whatever it is that you bring with you, God says, come on. Bring it to the table. We got to remember that when we come to this meal, that we come not because we're worthy. You can't buy a ticket to this meal. It's not a fundraiser. You just have to accept it as a gift. As that hymn said so well, just as I am, without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, and that you bids me come, O Lamb of God, I come. So tonight, we take a look at this table. We come to this table and we look at the past and how God freed Israel from slavery and how he frees us and can free us from all of the garbage and the stuff that we bring from our past. We come to the present where we also understand that God invites us to this table tonight. He comes and he invites us to taste the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does that taste like? What does sacrificial lamb taste like? There's one more thing about this table, and that is, it's not just about the past, and it's not just about the present, but this meal is also about something that signifies the future. Because in the future, there's going to be another meal. And that meal is not going to be about commemorating or remembering Christ's death. That meal is going to be about celebrating Christ's victory. And that meal isn't going to just be about, for Jews or for just the disciples. But that meal is going to be for everybody. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, anybody that loves the Lord, they're going to come from the east, the west, the north, the south, and when they get to that table, they're going to look up and they're going to see their Lord as the master of ceremonies. This table that we come to tonight is a reminder that Christ gave himself to set us free. To set you free from whatever it is that is burdening you. He says, I want you to come, and I want you to sit with me, and I want you to share that with me. But here's the other thing. Once you share it with me, I want you to leave it here. I don't want you to take it with you. Because if you take it with you, then you just nullified what the meal's about. Just leave it here. I'll deal with it. You go on. He comes inviting us to share his grace, to share the transforming power that comes in this meal, because this meal has power. And no matter what worries you may have about the future, no matter what kinds of things, as we read the headlines, and every day there's the headlines are worse and worse. But this meal is again a sign and a promise from God that the future is in his hands, and your life is in his hands. And that he has begun a work in you. And God promises through this meal that he is going to complete that work in you. And on that day that he completes that work in you, you're going to realize that nothing, really, nothing can separate you from his love. And that's why we worship God. That's what Thursday's all about. That's why we celebrate the meal. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we know that you love us because of the sacrifice. But we have to admit, God, that there's times when we don't always really grab hold of that. There's times, Lord, when we just get so wrapped up in the stuff in our lives. So tonight, God, as we come, and we come to this table by your invitation, help us to leave our sins and our grief and our burdens and our worries and our anxieties here, so that we can be set free to be your people out there. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.